This is my first message in Canada since the last time I preached was in Africa, in Uganda. There's a few more people there in the crowd, and they were pretty energetic that day. So let's have some enthusiasm here this morning. I'm used to a higher standard. Well, I am excited to share with you this morning. We're gonna not too much. Pick your moments. We are going to start a new series of messages that we're going to do over the summer today. The title of the series is called Suit Up. Suit Up. Sounds good, hey? Suit Up. I want to begin by just talking to you a little bit about something that happened while we were in Uganda. As many of you know, we have a ministry in this church called Lift 42 Ministries. Probably 20-some years ago, God gave me a dream of preaching the gospel in outdoor stadiums in front of thousands of people. And most of you that have been in this church over that time have heard the stories many times and have kind of walked this journey with me as God has made that dream become a reality in the last 4 or 5 years. And so we started this ministry called Lift 42 Ministries out of Harvest City Church, and I'm excited how what God gave me as a vision has expanded, is bigger than what I thought it would be, and it has way more facets than what I thought it would be. And now we're traveling with teams of almost 20 people and ministering not just in crusade events, but in schools and prisons and hospitals, with business people. You name it, we've been doing it. And really what has happened is now instead of just crusade events, God has given us this vision of just saturating the city that we go to with the gospel in as many facets as we possibly can while we're there. And so we just had an amazing team that was going here, there, and everywhere, and God was using us in incredible ways. And it all sounds exciting and fun, and we come back and we share some of our best stories with you and some of the video footage, but I want you to know that it's not all just fun and games. In fact, it's a real war. It's a real battle, and I have to kind of pump myself up before I go. In fact, I got to tell you that in my flesh, every time that we go, I don't want to go, because I know what it is that we're going to face and what I'm going to face personally, and this time was no different. And there was just this a real sense of opposition even before we hit the ground. We put up, we have an advertising budget, and so there's posters that go up all over town, big banners that go up over town. For me, it's a little bizarre to drive into a city and see my picture plastered all over the walls and on big banners hanging over the streets. And some of you might think, oh, be careful you don't get a fat head. Listen to me. The biggest thing that happens to me when I see that is intimidation, because I'm going, they think somebody awesome's coming to town, but I know who's coming to town. He's not all that awesome. And there's a lot of pressure when your banner's everywhere. Miracles, signs, and wonders, come. Oh, Lord Jesus, it makes me shake in my boots. Believe me. But this time when we were putting up when the team on the ground was putting up the banners and the posters, we were hearing the words that they would put them up one day, and by the next morning they were all gone. They were being ripped off the walls. And even one of these banners that hung over one of the streets, like it literally went from one side of the street to the other on these poles, they hung it too low and a semi took it out as he drove out of the city the one morning. So, and then we were hearing that people steal the banners and use them as like rugs in their home. So somebody, maybe even this morning, is wiping their feet off on my face. It's a great visual for me. But you could just sense this opposition, and even before we went, as we were praying, I said to our team, I just feel like even with the pastors in the city, there's more of a we'll wait and see sort of attitude, and that we're going to have to earn our stripes, so to speak, and earn favor, and because I don't think we've just been handed it. And there was that sense when we walked in to the city that indeed that was the case. And I don't blame them. I mean, who is this guy, really? They don't know who I am and who our team is. We don't have this big name yet in Uganda, although God is increasing our favor. But I began to find out even throughout the week that there was some pastors that didn't want us there. And in fact, some of them were suggesting that I was not the guy who was on the posters. And they were quite upset with that. That we were lying. Apparently, I look much older on the posters and have more hair. And I did have more hair a year ago. And that is the truth. But I have gotten older, not younger. And so even on the last night, I wore the same shirt that was on the posters. So they, you know, so I look more like the poster. So I guess they were disappointed. The guy in the poster looked awesome. And the guy they got in reality wasn't quite as good as what they thought. So I don't know what it was. But there was this sense of opposition. That first night that I preached, God helped me, but it was a struggle the whole way through. Just a battle with confidence, and it was like, you know, I was preaching, just keep going, keep going, keep going. And God moved on the hearts of people, and we had a fantastic response at the altar, but it was just, in terms of miracles, that sort of thing, it just, everything felt subdued. And I came home that night, and I texted Angela, and just talking a little bit, and I just said, I want to have fun doing this, but it just feels like such a battle all the time, and I got to learn how to have joy in this, because it should be awesome seeing people come into Christ, but it just feels like, oh, battle. And the next day, it was second night of the crusade, and as the crusade starts, you can see the clouds moving in. And I'm standing on the stage, and lightning is flashing all around us, and you can see the restlessness in the crowd, and some of them are beginning to stand up and beginning to make their way. It's always awesome when you're preaching and people are leaving. And that was what was happening. And then this wind just sort of comes out of nowhere. Like, I mean, it's a serious wind. It's as I'm preaching, it's like going. It's just in the mic, so it's like drowning out my voice, and I'm trying to stand back to try and get out of the wind. All of a sudden, my pulpit with my iPad and my iPad stand is blowing over. I catch it, and I put it on the back, so now I'm realizing I can't be preaching from my iPad. It's going to get blown over, and the crowd is just dispersing fast. And then I get this note handed to me by the usher. He comes to the front of the stage, hands me a note from one of the pastors that says, "Do the altar call now. People are leaving." I felt like getting my pen out and going, "Thank you, Captain Obvious." I can see it. But what am I going to do is the question, because I haven't even gotten anywhere in my message where I can give an altar call just yet. And I don't even have my notes anymore because they're back there because they're getting blown over. And it's just like, God help me. I got to wrap this thing up in like 10 minutes. And so I just kind of said it wasn't like this great big bold audacious rebuke of the wind. But I just said, "Lord, I rebuke this wind in Jesus' name." It was kind of like, "Please, God." And he heard somehow. And it did die down, and I somehow got through my message, and just in shortened version, maybe God was teaching me a lesson, shorten it up, Joel. I'm not sure exactly what he was trying to say there. And we had a great response to the altar. I think even 250 people came forward to receive Christ that night. And so there was still victory. But you go back to the hotel with this sense of, we lost half the crowd tonight. God still helped us. God still was faithful. We still had results. But it wasn't what it could have been. And there was just this sense of something was robbed from us here tonight. Now, as a team, we would gather for prayer before the crusade event, and we were praying, you know, there was no room that was big enough, really for us to pray in. And so we prayed outdoors on sort of this, in the courtyard. But there's people around. And so it was frustrating for me because I'm like, we need to pray harder than what we're praying. And those of you that know me know that I don't pray sitting down because I've learned that it's war and I can't fight on my butt. I got to get on my feet. And so there was this frustration in me that we're not praying hard enough. You know, it's a new team and thinking, they don't know what it takes to break through. And so, but it's like, I don't want to come across as this sort of like, you know, heavy, you know, come on, do something. And so we had these nice prayer times. But the next morning, I was talking with Jeff Barnhart, and we were just talking about this whole thing. And of course, Jeff's been with me for the last few years and has learned what it takes. And I said, Jeff, like, I would rather get four or five of you guys that really know how to pray and come and hang out in my room than have 20 of us going casual prayer out on the deck. And so he said, well, why don't we just move out into the field, sort of in front of the, at the back of the hotel? And I'm thinking, well, okay, it's still not really that private, and I don't know if we can really go for it, but, well, whatever. Something like that, and so we show up for the prayer time, and everybody's kind of thinking it's just going to be like every other night, and I was prepared to just sort of, you know, I'd had a good time of prayer in my room, and I was sort of prepared to let's just do what we've been doing, because I don't like confrontation, and I'm too Canadian sometimes. But Jeff, he likes confrontation, I think. And sometimes you need those bulls in the china shop on your team, you know, that kind of personality. And so Jeff says, we need to pray harder, and we can't do it here, so we're moving out onto the field. And so everybody, well, okay. And so we move out onto this field. It's still not private. I mean, people can see us, but something happens when we move out onto the field. There was just a different level of engagement, and suddenly the spirit of intercession comes upon us as a team. And these 18 people went to war. I mean, it was intense. And there was, you know, we were walking and pacing that field, and the storm clouds were starting to move in again, and we were rebuking them this time with a greater fervor and just praying to God for an open heaven, not a clouded heaven. And it was an intense time of prayer, and you could just feel this breakthrough that was beginning to happen. And then somebody said, well, let's pray for Joel. And so they gathered around me, these 18 people, and putting their hands on me and just praying with warfare, determination, passion. And I think it was Derek who started and just began to take authority over words that had been spoken against me. And as soon as Derek said that, I felt the power of the Holy Spirit come on me. It was like somebody hooked me up with battery cables and it was just going zzz, zzz, zzz. And I've had different experiences with the Holy Spirit in my time, and I've heard God's voice, but this time I was hearing God like a shout in my ears. I don't know how to describe it. I mean, obviously it wasn't out loud, but in my head it was a shout. And I was hearing God say to me, you were cursed! You were cursed! You were cursed! And then Katrina says, I see like witch doctors clawing at your posters and cursing you. And Jeff began to declare or prophesy something to do with curses that had been spoken over me. And suddenly it was just like the power of God just invaded my body. And to the point where I couldn't stand. I was literally hanging on to the people as they're praying. And the more they prayed, it was just like zap and zap and zap. And suddenly there was this anger that arose up on the inside of me. It was this righteous anger. The devil tried to stop us. The devil has sent people to curse me and to limit what God wants to do in this city. But there's no way that's going to happen. There's no way that that's going to stop us. And suddenly this intimidation and fear that had been wrapped in was falling off, and this roar came out of the inside of me. Do you remember that, Derek? It was just like this roar. And I knew what was happening. The Lion of Judah inside of me was getting restless. The Lion of Judah wanted out. He wanted to roar over that city, over that community. And something inside of me wanted to roar. Wanted to preach and really go for it. And that night when we walked to the bus all kind of going, wow. Okay, that was awesome. That was awesome. And there was a sense of, tonight is going to be wild. We've broken through. And when we got to the field, I mean, it was a good-sized crowd, but something was different. It was just different. And there was just an exuberance and a praise. Preached the message, and this time as I was preaching, instead of people leaving, people were coming. And the crowd at the end was so much bigger than when I started. And when it came time to pray for the miracles, for the healing power of God, I asked the choir to sing the song, "You are great, you do miracles so great, there is no one else like you." And this choir behind began to sing this song. I don't know if I've ever experienced the presence of God on stage like I experienced it that night. It was just like, it was just thick. Our team afterwards was saying things like, it was like holy ground. And it was just like, sing it again, sing it again. I was even singing out loud. I was leading the choir in some of the song. Because it was just like, come on. It was just, I began to say to the people, God's already healing you. He has to be. The presence of God is so strong. Don't wait for the prayer. Just begin to do what you couldn't do. Because the power of God had come. The presence of God had come. And you know, those last two nights were fantastic. And by the end, I mean, the crowd was bigger than any crowd I've ever seen. And the exuberance of praise was, it was something. It was amazing. And I tell you that story tonight, or this morning, for this reason. Because I want to impress upon you the reality of the spiritual battle that we are engaged in. There is a spiritual war. And I'm convinced that most Christians don't understand the half of it. There are two kingdoms in this world. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. And these two kingdoms are at war. They're at war. And as believers, we are engaged in this war, whether you like it or not, whether you realize it or not. We are in this war. And if you say, I just want to be a Christian, but I don't want it to get too intense, impossible. You're already losing if that's your attitude. You've already been deceived and you're already half beaten. When you became a Christian, you went to war that day. In fact, you were already in the war. You just didn't realize that you were losing. But now you crossed over, at least had the opportunity to win. But you're in a war. And Jesus described the mandate of each kingdom. I mean, we know this verse. It seems like every message I quote it. He said, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. That's the war that we're up against. We're up against an enemy who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Are those like little pansy words? He wants to kind of cause you a little bit of stress. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. This is war, church. And too many Christians are just sort of pussyfooting around and praying little half-hearted prayers, if they pray at all, and they don't understand something. They miss it. No, no, no. You are in the midst of war for your soul. It's war. And of course, Jesus gives us the mandate of the kingdom of God. And he said, I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. It can't be more opposite. In 1 Peter, Peter is giving instructions to both church leaders and the church as a whole. He's got a lot to say and all sorts of issues. But at the end of his sort of discussion, he ends his instructions with a warning. It says in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He is looking for lunch. He is looking for somebody to destroy. He's looking for somebody to steal from. Somebody to eat. And so we see the enemy of our souls described as a lion hunting his prey. He's looking for weaknesses. He's looking for opportunities. And Peter warns us, be alert. Be of sober mind. The word alert in the Greek means to watch, to give strict attention to be cautious. Give strict attention to. Most people aren't even realizing the battle that they're in. But Peter's saying, no, no, no. You have a lion. There's a lion out there who's looking to destroy you. Be alert. Watch. Pay close attention. Paul talks about not giving the devil a foothold in our lives. And so the instructions are clear. We have an enemy who wants to destroy us. We are not to be ignorant of this fact, and we are to be diligent in watching out for his tactics. Paul wrote this to the Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians 2:11. So that Satan will not outsmart us, for we are familiar with his evil schemes. In Ephesians 6:11, Paul wrote, put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. Are you hearing the language that Paul is using? He talks about evil schemes of the devil. He talks about strategies. In any war, any good general will strategize how he can win the war and what tactics can be used to accomplish the task. And I want to say to you that spiritually, it is absolutely no different. The enemy is scheming. He is strategizing how he can limit us, how he can stop us from being all that God wants us to be, from experiencing the abundant life that Jesus came to give. God has an abundant life for you. But I want to say to you that we have an enemy who is scheming right now how he can keep you from it. Who's employing strategies that will stop you from being all that God has called you to be. And while you're resting, he's scheming. And he is employing his strategies. And so if you are not alert, you are going to be overcome. And of course, the enemy uses many weapons. He's been using the same ones right from the beginning of creation, but he's really good at them. One of the weapons he uses is accusation. Revelations 12:10 says, "The devil, the accuser of the brethren, accuses them before our God day and night." He never stops. His accusations are designed to produce guilt and condemnation and confusion. Another one of his weapons is deception and lies. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, "But I'm not surprised, even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light." John 8:44 tells us that the devil hates the truth, that there is no truth in him. It says, "When he lies, it's consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Lies are birthed out of him. Satan lied and deceived Eve in the garden, and he's never stopped lying to us. Never stopped trying to deceive people, to keep them from the truth, because he hates the truth. Another weapon he uses is temptation and seduction. Paul said to the Thessalonian church in 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 5, "That is why when I could bear it no longer, I sent Timothy to find out whether your faith was still strong. I was afraid that the tempter had gotten the best of you and that our work had been useless." There have been many great men and women of God who have fallen victim to the temptations and reaped the consequences. David and Samson are a couple men that in Scripture that immediately come to mind. Another weapon he uses is offense, to turn people's hearts to anger and bitterness and unforgiveness. Hebrews 12:15 says, "Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many." The enemy loves offense because it destroys so many people. Another weapon he uses is intimidation, to try to get us to quit. Paul said to the Philippians, "Don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. This will be a sign to them that they're going to be destroyed, but that you're going to be saved even by God himself." The devil uses evil spirits to bring about oppression, to establish strongholds in our lives. Ephesians 6 verse 12 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Now, if you've read Ephesians, you know at the beginning of Ephesians, it's glorious. Paul is saying, "Man, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be opened, that you would be enlightened, that you would know the hope that you've been called to, that you would know the glorious inheritance that's yours as believers in Jesus, that you would know the power that's available to you. It is the same power that raised Christ from the dead." And he goes on to say, "And before you were even born, God planned your days. He created good works for you to do." I mean, it's amazing. But at the end of Ephesians, Paul says, "Watch out. You have an adversary. Put on the armor of God." Because he knows that the enemy wants to keep us and limit us and destroy us. And Paul wants us to stand firm against all the strategies that the devil will employ to stop us. And so we see that there is a war that is to be fought, and one against the enemies of our soul, in order for us to experience all God has for us to experience. Church, we have an enemy who's after our lives. He's not playing games. He's after your life. He's after your family. He's after this church. He's after our nation. He's after it. He's after all the plans that God has for his people. And as I mentioned, many people fail to understand the magnitude of this opposition. Indeed, I believe that this is part of the enemy's deception, to minimize the intensity, to minimize the reality of the struggle that we are facing.
And I want to say to you this morning that Satan's power is way beyond our own ability to withstand. Key word being our own. It's beyond our own ability to stand. If you are going to fight the devil with your own ability and your own strength, you will lose. You can't beat him on your own. Unless God gives us his strength, unless God gives us his armor, we are useless against the enemy. But I'm not here to preach bad news and doom and gloom, because the truth is God is with us. His divine power is available to us, and he has equipped us with our own weapons to fight against the enemy. He has. The devil has his tactics. He has his weapons that he uses against us. But God did not leave us empty-handed. He has given us weapons. He has given us armor to wear. That's why we need to suit up. In 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4, it begins to describe the weapons that we've been given. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. Thank God. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We've read how the enemy wants to destroy you and devour you, but God has given us his divine power to demolish strongholds. Amen. And so Paul says, finally, these are his last words to the Ephesians. Finally, guys, this is after talking about all the great things that God has for us. But finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. He might have his schemes, but I can withstand them with God's power. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. No weapon that's formed against me. Devil, you can scheme, you can plan, you can stay up all night if you want, but no weapon that's formed against me shall prosper. Because if I'm wearing the armor of God, I'll be fine. I'll be fine. We don't have to fight the enemy in our own strength. God has made available to us his divine and mighty power. Church, we need to suit up, and we need to be battle ready. And so over this summer, we're going to be looking specifically at the armor that God has given us. And we're going to learn how we can put it on. David said, and actually he sang this in 2 Samuel verse 22, he trains my hands for battle. He trains my hands for battle. That is something that I've been praying lately. God, train these hands for battle. Train these arms to bend a bow of bronze, as David said. Train us. I'm saying, God, even over the summer as a church, train us how to fight. Train us how to win this war, because I know you've got a great destiny for us in this city. I know you've got a great destiny for us in this nation. God, would you train the church how to war? Would you train the church how to fight in these days? As the enemy opposes us, as the news proclaims doom and gloom, the church needs to arise knowing how to fight. Knowing that there is victory available to us. Oh God, train us how to war. It's time for us to stop resting and sleeping in the pews. It's time to engage. Because we've been getting our butts kicked for too long. For too long the enemy has been destroying us. For too long he's been limiting us. For too long he's been after our families and after our nation. It's time for the church to arise. It's time to arise. It's time to go to war. It's time to learn how to fight. All right, I got to end. So we're going to look at the armor, each piece, over the summer. I'm excited about it. I'm saying, God, teach me how to put on the armor. Three quick thoughts in 1 minute. We don't need to be afraid. God's power is greater. John 4:4 says, the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Oh, that's comforting, isn't it? The one who is in me is greater than the one who's in the world. When I told one person the story I told you at the beginning, they said, oh man, that sounds scary. I said, when you know who you are in God, there is no reason to fear. There is no reason to fear. I said, it was awesome. The enemy's scheme was revealed to us. You've been cursed. Sorry, devil, that strategy won't work because we have divine power that demolishes the curses of the enemy. And so we broke the power of the curse. That strategy was useless. Intimidation, as I mentioned, is a main tactic the devil uses. He wants us to back off and run away. But church, listen to me. God has given us His armor so that we can stand firm. Over and over in Scripture, we are told to stand firm. Go home and Google it. You'll be amazed. 1 Corinthians 16:13, Paul said, be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong. We're going to look at each piece of the armor over the summer, but you're going to discover something. There is no armor that God has given us for the backside. There is no armor for the back, because in the kingdom of God, there is no retreat. We don't run. I'll say this to you. When you run in the battle, you are a prime target for destruction. When you run from God's call on your life, there is no protection. There is no protection. The safest place that you can be is dead center in the will of God, standing and advancing against your enemy. There's no protection when we run. Retreating and running away is never God's plan. David's saying in that same song, he said, with your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. This is no jumping over the wall to get away. I'm going to advance against that army that's coming against me. Church, we are called to advance the kingdom of God. Advance it. Advance it. Oh, the church is getting smaller and smaller in Canada. Why? Because the church has stopped fighting. Because the church has bought into the lies of the enemy that he's greater than God. And so they're cowering and running, and the devil's just taking shots at them. There's no protection. But when the church begins to arise, putting on their armor, hands trained for war, I'll tell you, they will advance against the troop. And they will overcome it. Jesus said, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and violent men take it by force. There is a spirit of tenacity that's required. We don't retreat, we rise up. In advance, knowing that God is for us and with us, Christ is building His church, and the gates of hell will not overpower it. Gates don't advance, they protect. We are going against the gates of hell, and it can't stop us. That's what was happening in my spirit as the team prayed for me that day. Intimidation was broken off. Every curse against me was canceled. And the spirit of an overcomer came upon me. The lion of Judah inside of me was not going to be silenced. Second thing, put on every piece of armor. Paul said, therefore, put on every piece of armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Every piece is required. So as we're studying the pieces, put every one of them on. It requires a deliberate choice. If we refuse to put it on, we leave ourselves exposed. And number three, I'll end with this. Recognize who your enemy is. Paul says, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. You see, church, we often think people are our enemies. They're not. They're not. We're fighting against forces in the unseen world. People are often pawns in the enemy's hand. Indeed, we can be as well if we let our guard down. So let's have discernment to recognize who our fight is really against. And let's win this war in the heavenlies. Are you ready to get suited up?
Why don't you stand to your feet this morning?
Thank you, Lord.
I'm just going to end in prayer. We're going to look at these pieces as we move forward, and not sure if it'll be next week because I'm on holidays next week or not. But today, take home today is this. I want you to take home with two things. Lord, I'm not going to be ignorant any longer of the war that I'm up against. I'm not going to be sleeping while the war's going on. I'm going to stand firm where I've been running. I just feel like the Lord is provoking some of you today where you know you've relinquished your spot on the wall. Maybe you got tired of the fighting. Somehow you step back, and I feel like this morning the Holy Spirit is challenging us and even us as individuals, get back on the wall. Get back on the wall. And if you know that the Lord is challenging you to do that, just in your own heart, I'm not going to have an altar call. It's Canada Day. We need to go celebrate. But in your own heart, I want you to say, God, right here, right now, I'm getting back on that wall. I'm getting on that wall. I'm not running any longer. Teach me how to war. Father, we come before you today. Lord, first of all, Lord, we acknowledge that we've been too casual. Lord, we just come today and we acknowledge that there's areas in our life where we haven't taken our stand, where we've backed off. We've bought into lies, deception, intimidation, fear, discouragement, doubt. But Lord, right here, we renew our commitment. I'm getting back on that wall. I'm getting back on that wall. We even begin to speak to the enemy of our souls. Devil, listen to me. Where you discouraged me, where you had me cowering in fear, I declare today that I'm coming after you. I'm going to advance on you, and that the God who is within me is greater than you are. And I position myself again. Lord, you said resist the enemy and he would flee. Father, I pray that a spirit of resistance would rise up within the people of God this morning. I pray that a spirit of tenacity would arise within the people of God. That violent spirit, Lord, not violent against flesh, but violent against principalities and powers, would rise up within the people of God today. I pray that the sleeping giant would arise. Lord, we often look at the enemy as this giant, but the church is the giant. We're just sleeping. Lord, let the giant arise this morning in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray that over this summer, through even this simple series, God, that you would train our hands to war. That we would become a church who knows how to battle, that's battle-tested, battle-ready. In Jesus' name. And God, as we look at these pieces of the armor, would you open our eyes to see where it is that we are naked? Lord, where it is that we have a spot that the enemy is penetrating because we're not standing in the armor you've given us. Give us wisdom and discernment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you, church. Have a great day.